I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Stefan Alex with us. We're going to take calls as we continue chatting about this incredible experience. So you're at Dachau, and you're getting this feeling again that's helping you. And 41,000 people were killed there, by the way, Stefan. 41,000 people.
Yeah, and you can feel it when you are entering this place. I mean, you don't need to be psychic. The suffering of those people are just still there, and I felt it when I was walking toward the field, and I was feeling it, and I was also kind of ashamed to have a link, even though I didn't choose to have this link. I was feeling ashamed of having this link with this Alexander, and I start talking to him when I was walking toward the field. I start talking to him, and I was saying a lot of bad words to him just to tell him, just leave me. I don't want to be you. You are not me. You did very bad things. I didn't do anything. I'm a good man. And from that very moment, I understood that it was really a memory I had inside of me. It was not me. It was a memory I had to heal. It's a very complicated process to explain. I tried to write it more precisely in the book, but for me it was really important. Sometimes we can feel attached to past life memory. We feel kind of responsible of what we keep inside of us, but it's not belonging to us. I mean, the past lives that are ours are not us. We are who we are today. We are made of memories, like we are made of our historical family. We are not responsible of what the grandfather did or the grand aunt did, like we are not responsible of what we have done in the past life. It's a part of us. We have to deal with it. We have to do something with it, which to my belief system today is related to healing. And really everything I'm saying now, quite confusing, sorry, just appeared to my mind when I was walking toward this concentration camp.
Did you ever find whether he had a daughter or not?
This is one of the key moments of my investigation. I don't know if I want to spoil this for the viewer, but to make it quick, yes, I saw a little girl in my vision who was something like two or three at the time. And this girl still exists and is still alive, and I meet her.
So that she's still alive now?
Yes.
And you had a chance to meet her. Did she believe your story?
Yeah, it was a very, very amazing moment because this woman, who is now 80-something, she lived in East Germany, I mean, the past East Germany. So they are not open to spiritual topics. They are not open. They are very rational. So when I suddenly appear in front of her, I was the guy who was saying, "Oh, I may be the new life of your relative," and I came to say hello. So I was very, very worried how she will react,
yeah,
what she will think of it. But I think they Googled me a little bit, and they saw I was a serious French journalist. So they were very, very curious to meet me and to understand why I was coming with such a story. So when I had them on the phone, I didn't tell the entire story. I just said I had a link with Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
So probably at this moment, they thought I was a kind of son of or grandson of Alexander in France, because he was stationed in France for some time. But when I was in front of them, suddenly I tell them the real story. And I still remember their eyes, their amazement. But they saw my sincerity, and they saw so much how I was myself disturbed by this. So they kind of believe. I mean, you know, it's like so-called normal person, where they, for the first time, they are confronted with an extraordinary experience. They don't believe it 100% immediately.
Right.
It's a kind of in-between, very uncomfortable in-between where they are. It's like when you saw a UFO for the first time. It's like when you see a ghost for the first time. You don't know what's happening. You are not sure of your own sense. You don't know what's happening, so you're doubting. And I think for this woman, she was seeing on the same time that I was very serious, very sincere, and on the same time she was believing, but this is not possible. This is not possible. So I was seeing this internal fight inside her while I was looking in her eyes. But they decided to test me, because at our meeting, they have brought a picture of Alexander and his brother, because he had an older brother. And suddenly, during our meeting, she take the picture out of a file, and she put it in front of me, and she asked me, "Okay, tell me who is Alexander in between the two persons." And to my surprise and to my amazement, I recognize one guy as the other guy I saw in my vision. Because as I told you earlier,
that's amazing.
My vision in Peru, I saw Alexander many times. I saw Alexander dying, but I saw at one moment another man with Alexander. I don't know what kind of relation they had. And suddenly on the picture, I realized that this second man was his brother. So I said to the family, this is his brother, so the other one is Alexander.
And the brother is since, I guess, dead now, right?
Oh, yeah. He died. He was also in the German army, and he was in captured by the Germans. So he spent years in Russia. He spent years in the Russian prison. And when he came back, he was totally destroyed, and he died soon after.
Do you think Alexander, Stefan, has been reaching out to you since the beginning for some reason?
Yes, I think. I think it's complicated to say that, because if we say it's my past life, Alexander is no longer anymore in the spirit world. He's inside me, but I had the feeling that he was a part of him was inside of me since my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And also a part of him is somewhere else, in let's say, the ghost realm. I don't know how to qualify this place, but he's both inside and outside me.
What if you were, during World War II, a friend of his, maybe another German soldier or something like that? Is that possible?
It is totally possible, and it's the reason why I cannot assure that Ham 100% is my reincarnation. As you probably say, I could have been one of his friends, and I could have witnessed everything he witnessed, and this would be the explanation why I remember all this detail. I don't know. And I don't know if I will have the answer one day.
Has he healed, do you think, since this has happened?
I think so, yes. I really think so. I think he escaped from the confusion he was. Because, you know, when you are a young boy, when you're born in a country like Germany in the 30s or in the 20s, you don't become a monster like that. I mean, many things happen in your life that drive you to become an SS and a monster. And as much as you are growing up, you're getting more and more confused because of the political situation, because of the Nazi who get in power, because of many, many social factor. So I think my investigation in some way was able to show Alexander how he went into a very wrong way, how much mistake he did, how much confusion was his life, how much confused was his life. And this is because of my work. This is because of my investigation. I brought light to a very shadow area. And I think it helps him. It helps me a lot to heal from my shadow side. But I think it helped him a lot also.
Now, on the cover of the book, When I Was Someone Else, the picture on the right side is you. Is that Alex on the left in his uniform?
Yes. After the finishing of the book, we contacted the archive in Berlin, and we find that the picture I saw at first was a very bad copy of the original picture we received from Berlin, and this is the original picture on the cover, where you can see his eyes, you can see all the detail of his face.
And have you visited the grave? Were you able to find his grave?
Yes. He like thousands of German soldiers, he was buried the place he died. So he died in a very, very little village in north of Russia. And I went there. I wanted to be in this place for the anniversary date of his death. He died October 20, 1941. So I wanted to be on the October 20 on the same place. And I traveled there. I spent a couple of days in the village and in the area. I had many, many very weird experience there with ghosts and many things happening in the forest. I did exactly the same path in the forest that he did the day of his death. So I was alone in the forest, in the very cold forest, walking like if I was walking with him. And I find his grave. He's buried today in a little village. And I don't want to give all the detail, but it was a very, very amazing story, because I discovered that when we ask a question strong enough, universe is helping us to find the answer.
Absolutely.
Really what happened.
Was it emotional for you to be at the grave?
Oh, it was one of the most emotional moments of my life, because at this very moment I didn't know what to do. It's like the end of the story, but what should I do? Should I take him out of this grave? Should I take his skull in my hand? Should I do something with it? I mean, this question still bother me today.
Did you go alone or with people you knew?
I hired the services of French journalists who work in Moscow to help me, because I don't speak Russian. So I had this guy helping me on the field, but he was very, very discreet, and I was nearly alone at the very key moment I needed to be alone.
What lesson have you learned, Stefan, from all of this that you didn't know before?
That life is a wonderful opportunity for us to become a better person. You know, since the death of my brother in a car accident in Afghanistan, I was so much interested in afterlife and the meaning of life and the spiritual realm and everything. And I wanted to understand why we live and when we die. Because when we die and we are very old, okay, we could say it's normal. But when you die when you are 30, like my brother Thomas, I mean, there is no, it's nonsense.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. And I wanted to understand the meaning of life. Since 20 years, I'm investigating this question. I'm asking this question. And this experience with Alexander showed me that we can always heal what's wrong inside of us. And maybe, I don't know if it's the real meaning of life, but I think it's one of the important meaning of life. Become a better person. Use all your intelligence, your skill, your time, your energy to become a better person, to love more person, to forgive, and to work on decreasing the confusion of your mind. Because if you are confused, you are not the master of your life. You are just a slave, and you are driven by other energy. Like for a long part of my life, I was driven by energy of Alexander. I didn't know why I became war correspondent. I didn't know why I went to a very, very dangerous place sometimes in my life, like in the Taliban area or some other. I was nearly risking my life every day. I didn't know why. Now I understand why. I understand that I was kind of the slave of other energy, other memory. So I think one of the major things we can do in our life is to try to identify who we are deeply and who participate in our life, which memories, which influence from our family, and we can get free of it. We can heal it, and it decreases the confusion, and it makes us a better person.
You need
a lot of better person.
You have said, Stefan, that you believe someone has been helping you along the way. Was that Alex or some other entity?
I think it's some other entity. I think we have a lot of guardian angel. I think people who love us during our life and who died can still be around to help sometimes. I think we are not alone. We believe we are alone in our body, like we are not influenced by anyone outside. But I think we're influenced in a bad way, but also in a good way, by many entity, many energy, many... I don't know the word. I don't know what word to put on this. But if you find a way to calm down your mind and to open a place in a daily life basis, maybe 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes during meditation, for instance, where you can just open yourself to what's around without naming it, without knowing who is there, you will be surprised how answer can come or help can come sometimes and how you're not alone. I really believe we are not alone.
You're absolutely right about that. Are you glad, Stefan, that you went through this experience?
Yes, it was very tough. It was one of the most, as I said, I traveled in a very dangerous area. I was confronted with very dangerous Taliban and saw some other person who wanted to kill me. But this investigation was one of the most difficult investigations of my life because it was so dangerous to go so close from my inner shadow. But today, I don't regret 1 minute of this investigation because I am a better person today than I was 4 or 5 years ago.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.